You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
And welcome to episode 138 of IRC FM. IRC FM is my music podcast that usually comes down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week. But for the first time in 2011, it is an interview show on Tuesdays. And in this Channel IRC studio with me, we have my mum Judy from Blast from the Past and Judy's Blast FM. Hello.
Hello.
It's been a long time since we've had someone at the other end of the line on Skype, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've got cobwebs growing on me, Mike.
It's all good. And coming to us from the east coast of the US, we have Devo Spice from The Thump. Hello, Devo.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Now, ages ago, we interviewed you for Blast from the Past, which is the show on Channel IRC that my mum Judy and I do together, and that was a lot of fun. But this is the first time that we've actually spoken to you here on IRC FM. Why don't you briefly tell us the Devo Spice and the Thump story for those listeners who have no idea who you are and why we're talking to you?
Well, basically, I grew up as a fan of comedy music, just, you know, parodies, anything that's funny I loved. And besides that, the first, you know, genre of music that I really liked was rap and hip-hop. So when I started writing my own songs, it only, you know, seemed natural to combine the two, and I started writing funny rap songs. And when I was in junior high, me and a couple of friends got together, and we formed a comedy rap group called Sudden Death. And Sudden Death existed in various incarnations over the years. I became the front man around 1990 or so, and then, you know, started taking it a little more seriously around 2003, 2004. And started putting out, you know, independent albums of comedy rap, and eventually dominated the Dr. Demento show. In 2007, I had the number one, number two, and number four most requested songs of the year, which is something that even Weird Al hasn't done. So I'm very proud of that. And then as time goes on, I discover more and more other bands using the name Sudden Death, and I figured it was time to give it up, so I finally... In late 2008, I dropped the name Sudden Death, and I've just been going under my own nickname, Devo Spice, ever since.
Tell the listeners the Devo Spice story, because it's not what you might think, especially if you're English.
About the nickname?
Yeah.
Basically, what happened was I was in Florida on vacation when I was 13 or 14 years old, and I was heavily into breakdancing at the time. And I was watching a local group of breakdancers, and there was one guy doing human beatbox sound effects, and I overheard somebody talk about his spice, referring to his sound effects or his sounds. And at the time, I was also big into doing not only human beatbox sound effects, but other sound effects, You know, I was a big fan of Michael Winslow from Police Academy, and I was doing a lot of stuff like that. So I kind of adopted Spice as my own, and I took Devo as short for devastating, so it meant like devastating sound or devastating sound effects. And I chose Devo instead of Diva for obvious reasons. And that's how Devo Spice came to be.
And what about the FUMP, otherwise known as the Funny Music Project? How did that start about?
The FUMP came about because I was at a convention in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, along with Rob Balder and Jonathan Colton. Rob Balder is a webcomics artist, and he's also a comedy musician. And he does a comic. He started the comic Partial Eclipse, and he's now does a more serialized comic called Earthworld, Earworld. And Jonathan Colton, obviously, is you probably have heard of. He is a big singer-songwriter, does some funny songs, a lot of serious songs, a lot of nerd-related music, and he's a fantastic songwriter and musician. And he was doing his a weekly podcast called Thing a Week, where he challenged himself to write and record and release a new song every week for a year. And that was basically what launched his career. So the three of us were on a panel at Convergence in Pennsylvania, and nobody showed up. Well, one guy showed up, and then he left. So it was just the three of us talking, and Rob and Jonathan got talking about his music and how he was giving away his music for free and how it was helping jumpstart this career of his. And Rob immediately recognized what Jonathan Colton was doing as basically the same business model that Rob was using in webcomics. You give it away for free, build up an audience, and then figure out how to monetize your audience. And he thought, if Jonathan Colton was the first person to prove that you can do this with music, and he thought we should be able to do this with music as well. So he called Tom Smith and he called Shoebox of Worm Quartet. And then he called me, and we started talking about launching this website where we post a new song every week or a new song or two new songs a week. And we give it away for free. And then we figure out how to monetize it later. We just build up an audience. So he was talking to me about it, and I sat down and I figured out ways that we could monetize the site with subscription models and selling compilation CDs and selling high quality downloads. And in January of 2007, we launched the FUMP at thefump.com. And our first song was C is for Lettuce by Worm Quartet. And the site just took off. There were, you know, 7 or 8 core artists who – the idea was we were going to release a song a month. We've kind of gotten away from that just as real life gets in the way. But so the core artists, and we're going to release a song a month, and then we're going to have the auxiliary artists who are just, you know, a dozen or so other acts filling in the gaps for whenever the core couldn't make a song. So now we've got 8 core artists and I think 32 or 33 auxiliary artists, and we've been posting 2 songs a week as a free download since January of 2007. Coming up in May at some point, or late May, early June, I think, we're going to be posting our 500th song on the website, so we got to do something special for that.
So you've got basically 500 songs, and you're up to how many CDs?
Volume 25 is in production right now.
That's absolutely awesome. What have you learned in the 4 years that you've been together with the other people in the FUMP? That's a long time in internet terms.
Yeah, it seems like forever. Well, it's definitely a learning process. You know, we were kind of breaking new ground here, doing something that nobody's really done before. So, you know, we didn't know whether it was going to work or not. One thing we learned was that people will pay for content that they like and they want. You know, people, you know, the music industry is harping that no, you know, people are stealing music. Nobody's buying music anymore. And we're finding that's not true. People are buying music. People, I mean, we have a lot of subscribers who, you know, get our CDs every other month when they come out. We have a lot of level one subscribers who just get the high quality downloads, and you know, every day I sell, you know, a bunch of MP3s from our archive where they're no longer free. People have to, you know, pay for them if they want the download. So people will pay for content that they want. You know, our site is profitable, which is awesome. You know, we grew so quickly that we very quickly outgrew our initial server and had to go on to these other hosting plans. And eventually we grew to the point where we needed a dedicated server, and then we had to upgrade the dedicated server. And from there, we've been okay. We've kind of, you know, steadied. We've kind of leveled out from there. So
you've exceeded your expectations rather early.
Early on, and then we kind of leveled off to about where we thought we'd be. It took off very quickly. Basically, because what happened was, you know, all the artists who were involved in the FUMP brought their respective fan bases to the FUMP. And then that all those fan bases kind of merged together into the FUMP audience. And then Dr. Demento started playing our songs and plugging the FUMP. And then Dr. Demento's audience discovered the FUMP, and we grew from there. And then the bottom fell out in 2009 when the economy crashed. And we've been level ever since. But we're still profitable, and we're still growing. So things are doing good.
Level, profitable, and growing, that's all good, because, you know, there's been many podcasts and many groups that have come and gone in that time.
Yeah.
So you've got the CDs, you've got the downloads, you've got the subscribers, but what we should also point out is that the members of the FUMP, they're just not all in the one place in the US. They're all spread out, and do you guys get together occasionally and have gigs at, like, conventions and that sort of thing?
Yeah, just last weekend I performed at MarsCon, which is a science fiction convention in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which has a big comedy music track, and there were a ton of FUMP artists there. Rob Balder was there, Worm Quartet was the music guest of honor, there was the great Luke Ski, Possible Oscar, Insane Ian, Nuclear Bubble Wrap, Steve Goody, TV's Kyle, Odd Austin, Beth Kinderman, you know, just a whole bunch of people. And we don't get to do that too often, but when we do, it's a lot of fun because we are kind of spread out all over the place.
So how do you go, let's say you're working with someone else on a song, someone like Steve Goody or the great Luke Ski or whoever, and you're working mm-hmm. together on a song. How does that process go, considering that, you know, you're not just around the corner, you just can't go into the Diva Spice studio and have both of you there at the same time?
We all record our stuff remotely and just email each other WAV files, pretty much. We've gotten pretty good at it. We all know, you know, each other's timing and stuff, so that, you know, if we're doing a song, most of the songs that we do don't, it's usually just background vocals or you know, main vocals, but it's not anything where we have to play off of each other. When we recorded the Cirque du So What CD, we actually did all get together. For that was me, Worm Quartet, the Great Luke Ski, and Power Salad. We all got together and recorded that because we were playing off each other a lot for that one. But for music, it's usually just singing along to the music, so we kind of know what it's supposed to sound like. So we just have everybody record it remotely and then send the WAV file to whoever is doing the song. I've been using Steve Goody to do my mixing and mastering since about the summer, and so I've been sending him the individual tracks to the songs as I record them, and then he puts them all together and mixes it and masters it and emails it back to me. And it works out great. You know, the internet is a wonderful thing.
It certainly is. So why don't you tell us about how do you get your inspirations for your songs, because you write a lot of songs.
I wish I knew how I got inspiration for songs. I'd probably be able to control it a lot better. It happens at the most random times, and usually it happens at times when I can't write it down.
At 3 o'clock in the morning?
No, not even that, because if that was the case, I could get up and write it down. I mean, I'll be in the shower, you know, and I'll come up with an idea for either a song or a parody or, like, a bit for a song that I've been working on. And I have to sit there and I have to memorize it because I can't just run out of the shower soaking wet and find a piece of paper and a pen to write it down. And the other place I get a lot of inspiration is while I'm driving, which is just the worst place to get inspiration because I can't write it down while I'm driving. I wrote half of the song Half-Assed Rapper while I was driving.
So it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If you get a really great idea, do you Do you get up? Do you try and remember it until the morning, or what do you do?
Oh, I get up and write it down, because I've tried to remember things, and I'm like, oh, I'll remember that, and I go back to sleep. I forget it every single time. So now, whenever if I have a dream that inspires a good idea, or I just come up with an idea while I'm sleeping or something, I'll get up and run downstairs, break out my notebook, and write it down.
You should have it in your bedside table.
I should, but it doesn't happen all that often, really. So,
the other solution is when you're in the shower, you could get a whiteboard, put it on the wall or on the loo or somewhere like that with your pen, and you could, didn't matter if it gets wet then.
That's an idea, yeah. I could do that.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing how some people get their ideas. Do you often find that you've got an idea for music? I know that you've base a lot of your music based on familiar tunes.
Usually when I come up with an idea for a song, if it's an original song, I'll have an idea in mind for how I want the music to sound. Not necessarily a melody or anything like that, but just like a tone, whether I want it to be like, you know, like a hardcore gangster rap song, or whether I want it to be more like a musical P-funk type song, or, you know, like a more of a pop rap song or something like that, or like a rock rap crossover. I'll have that type of idea in my head as I'm doing the song, and then I'll write the song. I'll write out the lyrics, and then if the lyrics come out good and I like the way the song is going, then I'll start working on the music. If I don't like the way the lyrics came out, I don't bother starting the music.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, but what's your favorite song that you've ever written?
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
Hey.
The song, I always go back to this song from my third independent release tape, Brain Dead. The song was called Masturbate. And
I wonder why.
It's a parody of Regulate by Warren G and Nate Dogg. And it was the type of song that I didn't think I'd be able to do. It was my first internet collaboration. I did it with a guy from California named Tony Mason. He was part of a comedy, one-man comedy band for a while called None of the Above. They had a couple songs on Dr. Demento. So basically, it just so happened that I needed somebody who could sing, and Tony could sing. And I found out that he was using the exact same four-track recorder I could. So in this case, I recorded my music and my vocals on the four-track, and I mailed him the tape. And then he stuck the tape in his four track and recorded his vocals and mailed me the tape back. And that's how I did my first internet collaboration. And that song, every person I've played it for just breaks out laughing. You know, it's assuming they know the original song.
It just goes to show you how far we've come when you talk about mailing four tracks from one side of the country to the other, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of songs, one of my favorite songs is
very
relevant. It's called I Hate Mondays. I don't think we need to ask you how that came about, do we?
a couple of things happened with this song. It was, and I just talked about this song on my podcast, The Insider. I'm podcasting my whole album, and I'm putting, commentary on each song as I play each song. But I Hate Mondays was, I had heard the original I Love College on the radio. Didn't think much of it. And then I actually heard a parody of it. I saw a parody of it on YouTube called I Love Wendy's, about the restaurant. And I don't know, do they have Wendy's in Australia?
Yeah.
We've got a different sort of Wendy's. Wendy's here in Australia is actually an ice cream place like Baskin-Robbins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's only a little portable place, you know, like in the middle of the mall.
Yeah.
It's not a place you can go and sit down. You just walk up to the counter and order a milkshake or a... was it milkshakes, drinks,
or a cone, or whatever?
Yeah, or an ice cream. Different types of like gelato ice creams and things. That's all they do.
Yeah, in the States, there's the Wendy's chain is just it's a hamburger joint like McDonald's.
Yeah.
But so there's this parody. I Love Wendy's, and so I watched the video for that, and it wasn't bad. And for some reason, the phrase "I hate Mondays" popped into my head as I was watching the video for I Love Wendy's. And I was like, hey, I could do that. And at the time, I was doing a podcast called Manic Mondays, and I was like, hey, I could use this as my new theme song.
Yay.
And then I ended the podcast before I recorded the song. So
great. Now, we've played that a few times on our different shows here because Irk loves that song.
Well, thank you.
We should change it to I Hate Super Duper Early Mornings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song is going over very well on a website I'm a part of called Django, which is a streaming music service. It's sort of like Pandora. I don't know if they have any of these in Australia.
No.
But basically what happens is as a music listener, you go to Django.com and you fill in, you sign up for free, and you tell it what type of music you like. Specifically, you tell it what type of artists you like. You know, so I like the Beatles, I like the Rolling Stones, blah, 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 whatever.
Mm.
And then me as an artist, I go in and I pay them for however many spins I want my music played. And I tell them who I sound like. So I put down, I sound like Eminem, I sound like Weird Al Yankovic, I sound like the Bloodhound Gang, I sound like this, you know, Ludacris and Jay-Z and all these people. And so anytime a fan of music has down that they're a fan of Eminem, there's the chance that they're going to hear one of my songs because I told them that I sound like Eminem. So it pairs up, you know, artist with potential fan very effectively. And and then when people hear my song, there's a little like button that they can click on, and I get notified every time somebody clicks on the like button.
Oh, right.
And I Hate Mondays is my highest rated song.
Mm.
So it's doing very well.
Even on like when you're on Facebook and that, you know, everyone's always I Hate Monday. You know?
Exactly.
And I every time they say, "Oh, it's Monday, I Hate Mondays," I feel like saying, "Well, you should listen to the Fump song, I Hate Mondays." You know.
Yeah, just link right to the song.
I think I might do that, yeah. It's an idea.
Good thinking. So let's hear it now. I Hate Mondays.
I can't get up right now. I don't feel good. Who the hell decided that morning needed to come so early?
That party last night was awfully crazy. I got so wasted. Now I'm hungover and threw up so much I can still taste it. Drink some coffee, pop some speed. Before day sleep is what I need. Passed out at 5, got class at 8. Smash my alarm, I cannot see straight.
Man, I only got college for another 3 weeks. Trying to pass, I cheat off the geeks. For that to work, I have to get to class, which means I really have to move my ass. So fill up my cup, coffee straight up. I drive in a daze like, huh, who, what? I make it to class, but don't feel great. A 1 hour class, I'm 50 minutes late. Got a pop quiz, don't know what the topic is. Gonna have to take it, guess I'll just fake it. See the worried faces all over the places. Pray to three gods just to cover all the bases.
That party rocked for 3 days straight, we celebrated. Hell must have froze, I can't believe I graduated. My term paper wasn't great, GPA was 1.8. Got my degree, so I bid adieu. But now I'm late for an interview. Man, I hate Mondays.
Hey.
I hate mornings.
Hey.
I hate showers.
I can't tell you what I learned in school, but it didn't prepare me to become a tool. There were things I never thought I'd do, like pay close attention to detail, and I can't check personal email, and logic is never gonna prevail. Only two people here are female, and I think one might be a she-male, and my paycheck? Nowhere near what I thought. Now I can't afford the TV I just bought. Out of tequila, beer, wine, and rum too. Watching The Bachelor, is this what it's come to?
That office party was awfully lame, I wish I skipped it. Brown nose the boss, so insincere, it sounded scripted. I cut my hair and shaved my beard, and now it's me who thinks I look weird. Go home at 8, in bed by 10, just watch the news, then do it again. Man, I hate Mondays.
I'm going to give you a taste of what I go through on Monday mornings. A typical day, goes something like this.
Traffic on the 405 is at a total standstill this morning as all lanes are closed in both directions due to an accident involving two tractor trailers, seven cars, an ice cream truck, and the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Traffic is being rerouted onto Surface Street, but they're moving about as fast as an old lady in the express lane paying with a check.
Coffee, 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 coffee. Sitting in traffic, sitting in traffic, sitting in traffic, sitting in traffic.
Damn it, I'm late again. I hope my boss doesn't say, "Hey, good morning, sir." No, I've been here for 20 minutes now. I just had to go get something out of my car. Yes, with my briefcase. I don't go anywhere without it. No, not even the bathroom.
That office meeting we had left me permanently scarred. PowerPoint slides with cheesy graphics and crappy clip art was ill-prepared and underdressed. And there weren't no donuts left. Proactive this, synergy that. Then something about wearing different hats. Monday.
But after a few days of that, it's the weekend. You know what that means? It means I get to cut the grass, clean out the gutters, and take the kids to soccer. Do I really have to make the bed? Why can't I just leave it like that?
You're listening to episode 138 of IRC FM. In the IRC FM studio, we have Judy from Blast from the Past and Judy's Blast FM, and on the line we have Devo Spice of the Funny Music Project. The song we just heard there was I Hate Mondays. And Devo, you have a new CD coming out on the 1st of April. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I do indeed. It's the name of the album is Gnome Sane. G-N-O-M-E, Gnome, S-A-N-E, Sane. And I came up with the title because I noticed that rappers liked to, you know, blur words together. Mm. And, you know, so the phrase, "Do you know what I am saying?" which is eight syllables, got shortened to two syllables. Know what I'm saying? So that's going to be the name of my album. And I'm running a special promotion to help promote the album. I'm asking anyone who wants to buy my CD to buy it on April 1st in iTunes.
All right.
And I'm hoping to have it in all the iTunes, so it should be in the Australian version of iTunes as well. But I want everyone to buy it on iTunes on April 1st. And the reason is, if everybody does that, it should push me up the charts.
Right.
And get me, you know, more visibility and, you know, ultimately more sales. And to encourage people to do this, if they do that, I will then send them the physical CD for free. And I also have a bonus CD called Na Mean. Again, you know what I mean? It's short to two syllables. I mean. So, and that one contains an additional 13 tracks, another 45 minutes of music, and I'll send them that for free, too, if they buy my album on April 1st in iTunes.
Well, can we get in on a doubleheader on that? Because we're actually a day ahead of you. So we could nominate on April the 1st here and then go over and nominate on your April the 1st there. Can we do that? Cheat?
Maybe. I don't know. Can you? If you have access to the American iTunes, I guess you can.
No,
that is a big problem that a lot of people have, and
yeah.
I presume you'd also have the same problem at your end with all the different walled gardens and iTunes stores and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not my problem.
Yeah.
I just upload my music to CD Baby and they submit it to iTunes and Rhapsody and Napster and on all the different services, and they handle all the logistics and stuff like that. So,
is
and
there
then they
any,
just pay me every month.
To get a new one for our collection?
Is there a reason why April the 1st, apart from the fact that it's April Fool's Day?
Nope, that was it. It was April Fool's Day, and I figured it'd be easy to remember.
Yeah.
You know, there's a comedy album coming out on April Fool's Day, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. That was my reasoning.
And we'll put a plug in here too. There's also a Podio book coming out
on the
a
1st
moment
of April.
Time. Irk's new novel. So we're having a double header celebration here. Your new CD and Irk's new book.
So go check them both out. So what can we expect to hear on the new CD?
I've got lots of great funny rap songs. A lot of them have been posted to the Fump already, like I Hate Mondays and Platform Wars, which was a big hit on the Dr. Demento show in 2009. The Geeks Come Out at Night, Why Are You Friending Me on Facebook, I'm Not Your Personal IT Guy, which was on one of the Rhyme Torrents compilations. So a lot of stuff like that. And I have a bunch of songs that are going to be exclusive to the CD, such as a song I'm doing with Whitey Cracker called Nerds Rule. I have a couple of neat guest appearances planned, but I can't announce them yet because they haven't been recorded yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know for sure that they're going to be ready in time. So I don't want to jinx myself.
No. Oh, it's a pretty good package there.
Yeah, it's going to be, if everything goes according to plan, it's going to be 20 tracks, which will be almost 70 minutes of music. So it's going to be a very full CD.
Wow. That's a pretty big CD because normally now they do about 10. You know, 10, 12.
Yeah. You're doing really well these days.
Yeah, usually 12 songs and they're about 3 minutes a piece. So.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good.
We'll be downloading them. I have several 5-minute songs on this thing, so.
And so the CD's coming out, and so you'll actually send the physical CD if people buy it on the 1st of April on iTunes anywhere across the world?
Yep, anywhere across the world.
Oh, I'll be online. I'll have my finger on the button waiting. Do you autograph that for us? I'll get in early. Go with the other ones we got.
Yeah, no, it sounds really good. Why don't we hear one of the new tracks from the CD? And it's called Weird Al Didn't Write This Song. Tell us a bit about that.
This is a song I'm submitting to a compilation CD that's coming out, which is a Weird Al Yankovic tribute album. It's being put together by an artist named Odd Austin. And he emailed me saying, you know, asking me if I wanted to be a part of it because I was part of the first one. There was a tribute album that came out in the 90s called Prosthetic Lips, which I did a rap version of Happy Birthday, and I also did the cover art for that one. This is actually the third one. Insane Ian put together the second one, which is called Me, Myself, and I, and I never did get a copy of that one for some reason. But so there's a new Weird Al tribute album coming out, and I came up with this idea for the song because if you look around the internet, anytime there's a parody, it's somewhere miscredited to Al. So anytime there's like this really disgusting, awful, raunchy parody, and Al works clean, so people should know that Al didn't write this song, but every parody ever written at some point has been miscredited to Al. And it should be, you know, obvious to people that Al didn't write this song. And not only did Al not write the song, but every time they miscredit it to Al, they spell his name wrong. You know, they put Yankovic or they spell weird wrong or something like that. So I came up with this. It's kind of a rant, basically, about all these songs that are miscredited to Al. So I came up with Weird Al Didn't Write This Song.
I've got all the porn I can get, so now I'm searching around the net for some Metallica albums I haven't downloaded yet. They've had more misses than hits lately and greatly gone soft, but I do it just because I know it pisses them off. I go on another hunt and check another locale for stuff I want and find a folder titled Older Weird Al. It's news to me, but here's an early Billy Joel parody by Buggery called It's Still Just a Hole to Me. Believe me when I tell you the shock value astounds. It's a catchy little ditty using crappy MIDI sounds, recorded by a team working in a machine shop, and the singer sounds like William Hung gargling a mop. How could anyone think Al had this done? Oh right, the average IQ online is 81, so I give up. I don't even try to understand why these songs are written by this wired all Yankovic guy.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Nuh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
He never sing about how to use a fish as a pawn, come on.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Nuh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
But he did do a movie with the Long Duck Dong.
What's happening, pop star?
Let's talk about the spelling of weird. It's W-E-I-R-D. See, just to be clear, the I before E thing doesn't apply, because weird is just a weird word. That's why. His full name is Alfred, not Alan or Alex, but it's not a secret like that guy who's fighting the Daleks. If you have trouble recollecting his name, there's a game. Imagine him preparing dinner for a young Bruce Wayne. But really, you don't even need to know that bit. His name is Al. Call him Al. A-L, and that's it. His name is two letters long, but I included in this song because a disturbingly large number of people get it wrong. finally, let's talk about his last name. It drives me insane. Saying Yankovic should be profane. If you can't spell his name, I'ma show you how. Now it's Yankovic with a C. There's no H. Say it with me now. There is no H in Yankovic. Say it. There is no H in Yankovic. Again. There is no H in Yankovic. Louder.
There is no H in Yankovic. Weird Al didn't write this song.
Uh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
And he's never been on stage in high heels and a thong.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Uh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
It was me who wrote the tribute to the size of my schlong.
Hey, yo, Devo Spice, I'ma let you finish, but Sea Monkey writes the best Wiener parodies ever, I'm just saying.
Just because the song is funny doesn't mean it's done by Alan. Everyone I come upon threatens to give me a grimal. Does the same lack of knowledge make it back to other tracks? Just because the song sucks doesn't mean it's Nickelback. Yet every parody I see is credited wrong, as if he and only he can change the words to a song. The file sharing sites are uncaring how they store it. I'm still working on the song and I just found a torrent for it. Al works clean, so that should be your first clue, that he didn't write the song about
an elephant.
And hello Mata, hello Fada, just in case there's any doubt. In fact, no, he didn't write it, he was 4 when it came out. Lots of other people write parodies too, and you can hear them on the Funk every month when we do. Like Spaff and Robert Lund, Steve Goody, Luke Ski, Dynamite, Project Sisyphus, and oh yeah, me!
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Nuh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
I don't care what the credits say, the credits are wrong.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
Nuh-uh.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
No way.
Weird Al didn't write this song.
You may think that it was Al, but it was me all along.
Hey Devo, have you heard that track Inner Voice by Adam Sandler? It's hilarious.
Oh come on, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. I wrote that song with Worm Quartet in 2005. Number one song on the Dr. Demento show. And I can't even get miscredited to Al. It has to go to Adam Sandler. Jeez, what am I going to do?
Have you ever met Weird Al, just out of curiosity?
Several times, yeah. He knows who I am. He's familiar with my music. I just saw him a couple of weeks ago. He put out a children's book, and I went to the signing. So I went and had him autograph it.
Oh, great.
What's a Weird Al children's book like? I'm just sort of wondering that.
It is called, I think it's called What I Want to Be When I Grow Up, or I think it may just be When I Grow Up. And it's basically this kid named Billy who stands up in front of his class and tells the class for show and tell, I think, what he wants to be when he grows up. And it's just all really bizarre stuff.
Don't you have a rap song with something like that yourself? One of your songs? It just rings a bell to me.
I don't think it's one of mine. No, I don't think I ever did a song like that.
Yeah, probably.
What did Devo Spice want to do when he was a young child? What did he want to do when he grew up?
Be a rap singer.
I always wanted to be an artist, like a painter artist.
All right.
And I went to school for illustration. I got a degree in illustration. And pretty much right after I graduated, the whole field of illustration imploded around me. And it's pretty much a dead market now. You have to be really lucky to get any kind of illustration work these days, just because when computers came along, they messed up time frames big time. All of a sudden it was, you don't have a month to do this thing, you have 2 days to do this thing. So that there isn't time to, you know, properly hire an illustrator and give him 2 or 3 weeks to do a painting anymore. You know, now it's like, I did an internship at a newspaper and we had to do artwork in an hour. I mean, literally a guy would come in with an article and say, hey, I got 3 inches of empty space here. Can you fill it with a drawing of some kind? And we have to go to press in an hour. So, you know, I was like, oh, okay. So I sat down at the computer and I did a drawing and, you know, and it went out in the paper. But, you know, I was able to do that because I was on staff as an intern at this newspaper. You know, there was no time to hire a freelancer to do any kind of illustration work anymore. So the freelance illustration is kind of a dead field, unfortunately.
So does that mean that you do all the artwork on the CDs?
I do some of it. The Great Luke Ski and TV's Kyle seem to be doing the bulk of the artwork on the CDs. The only CD that I did a proper illustration for was Volume 22. I've done a couple like layout and photo montages and stuff like that for the covers, but the 22 was the only one I did a proper illustration of.
And speaking of other things that you're doing, you're not just doing your rap songs and doing your CDs and everything like that. You've also been doing some audio narration.
Yeah, I did some voiceover work for Escape Pod. I narrated a story, which was an interesting twist on the September 11th attacks. I don't know if you heard that story. It was a very cool story. And then I narrated Marco and the Red Granny for Mer Lafferty, which you can find at podiobooks.com, which is another very cool story. It has it's about art and fashion and gladiatorial combat on the moon.
So how did you find recording a podio book compared to basically doing a CD or putting out a song? How did you find that process?
It's similar in that, you know, it's still, you know, a form of voice acting, which, you know, rapping is similar to voice acting in that, you know, I have to have the right tone of voice and I have to do it right. And, you know, I have to enunciate properly so people can understand me. So that was the same. The difference was that it was a lot longer doing the whole story. You know, I'm not used to recording, you know, for an hour at a time and then editing it down to a half an hour. You know, a half an hour episode of Marco and the Red Granny took me about 3 hours to edit. And that's not including, you know, the hour it took me to record it. So it was a long process. But it was fun, and I'm very happy with the end result. So
you got
and so is Murr, which is the important thing.
Mm, you've got the voice for it, Bart.
Well, thank you.
No, you have. You've got a very clear, well-spoken voice, which is, for a patio book, that's what you need. You don't need someone that's mumbling.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, that's something I developed over years of doing my comedy music, because if I mumble the lyrics, you're going to miss the joke, and then it defeats the purpose. So
well, I know I'm deaf in one ear and I can't hear out of the other, and I miss so many punchlines because of that reason. You know, I can't understand what they're saying. You know, so you know, I mean, from my perspective, I can totally agree there. You know, if you've got anything, whether you know it's a joke, a song, or anything, even a story in a movie or whatever, you miss the punchline or the words, it wrecks the whole story.
Yeah, it does.
You know? So nothing worse.
Do you ever get people coming up to you and saying, oh, Devo, I love, you know, song XYZ, but why do you say something and it's totally wrong? You know, someone's misheard the lyrics. Does that ever happen?
No, I've never had that happen. I usually get, I love what you're doing, but I can't stand rap music. Why don't you do, you know, rock or pop or something like that? You know, that's what I get all the time.
Mm. And so rock and pop, that's not you. You're quite happy with the rap.
Yeah, I like rap. The other genre of music I really like is heavy metal. You know, the heavier the better. I'm a big fan of Cannibal Corpse and Carcass. But I mean, death metal I could perform. I can growl like that. But I can't sing. You know, the singing I did on I Hate Mondays is about as good as it gets. So for having me doing, you know, a full singing type song just ain't going to happen.
We've been very heavily involved lately with the heavy metal. And this one particular group that we've been supporting, I stir him up all the time because I can't understand a damn word he says, except for the yeah, you know.
Does he do that? Oh, yeah,
he does. But I stir him up, and there's another group as well, and I say, oh, you know, like the guy's name's Explain, his stage name's Explain, and the other guy's Michael. And Michael, you can understand what he's singing. And I stir him up and say, you know, I say to Michael, I love your, you know, you're better than Explain, you know. And all I get on the Facebook is, grrr, you know. What's the latest he's calling me? Feathered.
No, you're a dirty bird.
Dirty bird. I'm a dirty bird. So he calls me a dirty bird. It used to be a mother headbanger they were calling me.
Nice. You know,
little old lady going to all these headbanger shows.
Foundry Road and Emotus, for anyone who's playing along at home and don't know who exactly we're talking about.
Yeah, they're our latest Australian metal band here, and they're doing really well on the charts and iTunes and that. They're fighting. They're battling it out between each other at the moment on the ratings.
Foundry Road have just putting out a new version, a metal version of Safety Dance.
Yes,
nice.
It's great, mate. It's fantastic. Well, Eric will have to send you a.
You'll hear it when it when it's finished. I'll send you one.
He'll send you a thing of it. They're a nice bunch of guys too. I take it back. I, you know, had some requests on Judy's Blast FM to play death metal and that, and I did a double header on it, and I said never again. And here I am now. I've been going out to metal shows and, you know, supporting two big bands here. And
she lost her voice for 3 weeks afterwards.
Yeah, I went to a metal show and I lost my voice for 3 weeks. Couldn't record a thing. But I've got a different respect to these guys now because, you know, everyone takes them as grunge. They're dirty. They're, you know, foul-mouthed. One of the guys in the group is actually a happily married man and with a couple of kids and, you know, and they're really respectable guys. So I changed my tone about metal guys, you know. They're deceiving. It's the same, I suppose, you get the same about, like, with you doing rap. A lot of people put down rap to a lot of African Americans and things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but there are quite a few good.
It's the same with everything. I mean, there's jerks and there's really nice people and there's everything in between and you know you meet them all.
That's right. So I've been learning since I've been doing the music. You know, I've starting to discover all these different genres and
More to music than country and or western.
Exactly. You know, and it's true, you know, and that's why, you know, I like the Fumps music because not just because it's not all rap, but, I mean, with the different guys from your group, you know, the songs that you have written, I can relate to some of them. And like on my show, we use your Gee, It Sucks to Get Old. That's one of my songs on Blast. And the other song is we also on there, when it's one of our listeners, we know it's their birthday, we play your birthday song.
And cool.
We in the background, we put the fireworks and all that clapping and yeah, you know. But we use your song for that, the happy birthday song that you wrote. So, I mean, we have been using some of your songs in our shows, you know.
Great.
So, and you have got a very good following over here in Australia of the Fump. And as we said to you earlier, you know, we know that the group in England use one of the Thump song on their show every week. And we've also got a nice little following from our show around America as well. So, you know, it's pretty popular. So,
yeah,
you
we're
know,
doing okay.
It's quite surprising, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I have, you know, Google alerts, you know, so every time, you know, somebody mentions Devo Spice or the Fump, I get an email.
Oh,
and so it never ceases to surprise me, you know, where somebody will mention me or where somebody will mention the Fump.
Oh, right. So if I type something on my Facebook page and I write Devo Spice, you know about it.
No, it won't pick up Facebook, but like if on certain forums somewhere it'll pick up, or if somebody creates a website and links to us, you know, it'll pick that up. Facebook is kind of a walled garden, and I don't think Google can get in there. But the funniest thing was that I got one of these alerts, and it said, you know, and it shows in the email just a summary that where it contains the word Fump, and it says the Fump was broken or the Fump is broken, and I'm like, oh, crap, what happened? And I pull up the site, and I'm like, the site's fine. What's this guy talking about? So I click on the link, and it's a link to, like, a Jeep website. And what they were talking about was a fuel pump, and he spelled pump wrong.
Oh, right, yeah. I've actually done that.
His pump was broken, and I replied, and I'm like, dude, you just gave me a freaking heart attack. I thought my site was down.
Look, I know I've written something about you on my Facebook page, you know, Devo Spice song or something. And I actually, a couple of times, I didn't realize it till after I'd sent it. I put Devio. Devio Spice.
That could be an alter ego.
Yeah, well, it could be too, but you're not thinking.
Yeah, my Google alert won't pick that up.
No, so. But I thought it was quite funny that I put Devio Spice instead of Devo.
No, it's all good. So don't forget, folks, go out and check out Devo on the 1st of April on iTunes. So what's coming up in your future, mate?
I've actually already started planning my next album. I went through, I looked at a calendar, and I said, okay, this is when I'm going to release songs on the Fump for the next year. And this is, you know, songs I'm going to record and keep off the Fump to keep them exclusive to the album. And then I started, you know, filling in the gaps for a couple of ideas that I had for songs that, you know, didn't make this album.
Elephant
and, you know,
songs.
Say, oh, I'll put that one in July, that one in August. And, you know, I mean, nothing is concrete yet, but I've actually started looking ahead to the next one already.
What about a best of?
It's funny you should mention that. I am contemplating doing a Best of Sudden Death CD. Actually, it'll be two.
That'd be good.
I'm going to do one for the first four albums, which were Dead Things Can Rap 2, Noise Pollution, Brain Dead, and Unplugged.
Oh.
So, but what I want to do with those four is I want to digitize the four-track tapes and remix them and remaster the songs to get as good a sound as I possibly can out of these things.
Well, let me know, and I'll play them on FM for you.
Sure. So yeah, so there's going to be – there'll be one best of CD from those four albums, and then one best of CD from the other three albums. So Fatal Accident Zone, Die Laughing, and Fatal Error.
Well,
those will be a best of.
Well,
as
think
well.
Of us, because we'll, you know, send us them and we'll play them on IRC FM and Blast from the Past and Blast FM. So we'll whack them out on a few shows for you, give a bit
cool,
of airplay. So I've actually got one already planned out, and it's not till August, IRC's birthday. But I've actually selected the program for his birthday with all your songs.
Oh, awesome.
So that the song, like each song sort of relates to him. What it, like, one, you know, the nerd song and My Son the Nerd, you know. And there was another Trains one. And so it was sort of things, and you know, to do with like what I think of him in your songs that sort of – you understand what I'm talking about anyway.
Yeah.
But I've already selected 10 songs from your thingo to – it's going to be – well, he knows about it now, but it was going to be a birthday surprise for him. But he doesn't know the songs anyway. I've got them, you know.
Yeah.
Spent a bit of time there on in your thing selecting them out in – what was it? The new songs thingo on Music Alley.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I got them from there, and I've wrote them all down in a book so that when, you know, I'm going to use them, I've already got the whole program selected out, you know. So it should be a funny show, actually.
Cool.
So I'm going to – they say payback's a bitch. He's going to cop it for his birthday. And he won't be home. He'll be in Europe, so he won't be able to thump me.
Oh, nice.
So it'd be good.
So it's all good. So how can people find you on the interweb, Devo?
I am at, oddly enough, devospice.com, DevoSpice.com. I'm on Twitter, at DevoSpice. I'm on Facebook under my real name, Tom Rockwell. And there is a Facebook fan page for Devo Spice you can join up with. And there's a lot of cross content, so you don't need to be everywhere.
Mm.
You know, I post a news item on devospice.com that automatically gets picked up on my LiveJournal account, which is devospice.livejournal.com. That then gets picked up by my Facebook fan page. So, you know, and then anything that I post on Twitter automatically gets cross posted to Facebook. So, you know, you don't need to follow me everywhere,
because
otherwise you're going to get a lot of overlapping content.
I follow you on Facebook, as you know.
Yes.
So.
Awesome. So, Devo, thanks, mate, for the interview, and good luck with the album with the iTunes rush on the 1st of April.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll be in there. I'll have the finger on the dial so I can get a copy.
Awesome.
Awesome. So that was Devo Spice from the Fump, the Funny Music Project. You can check them out as well, Devo, if you want to see what the rest of the guys are doing as well.
Yep, thefump.com, thefump.com.
Awesome. So until Friday, I've been Irk.
And I'm Judy.
And you'll be able to hear the regular Friday episode, funnily enough, on Friday on Irk FM. Lots of great quality, pod-safe and independent music coming down the pipe and into your ears each and every Friday. Until then, I'm Irk from Channel Irk, and it's good night, interweb.